Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And here we are Monday, the last broadcast week of the year. And you get to this juncture and start to take stock of 2018. But it's not over yet, and frankly, while we're away the last 10 days basically of the year, there'll be some notable racing action, of course, at Santa Anita, in particular. The eclipse voting that I think is now officially underway. I actually was wondering when the mailer would show up, and I suppose it'll be the next day or two, because I saw that on Saturday in my inbox came the missive from Jim Gluckson, and it's hard not to dive right in and look at stats and look at seasons of certain horses, and right away, even without the running of the Mathis and the La Brea and the Malibu, etc. Even without those races, there's already a statistic or a race result, a line entry, that's missing from the package immediately. And that was from Saturday's Fort Lauderdale. We'll talk to Chuck Lawrence at the bottom of the hour, and you just shake your head a little bit. The Glorious Empire, after everything we did handicapping-wise, and said to, for instance, to Nick Tamaro, we said, there's not a lot of speed in here, but there were enough horses you thought. There were three horses that looked like they would want the lead. And they give it to the most dangerous horse on the rail, and he absolutely, under a perfect Edgar Prado ride. You want to see veteran horsemanship on a front end ride. Edgar's third graded stake win of the year, and Edgar rides fairly sparingly, but Chuck Lawrence with confidence in him, and Grand Motion, of course. They won the Manhattan together, right? With Spring Quality. I watched it again this morning, and because I watched it on the phone on Saturday, out and about, we had Christmas parties. Tina and I mentioned that I handicapped. I wrote things up, and then had to literally do that Christmas season party to party thing with one friend of Tina's, and we went at the Saratoga and did some things, and a Christmas cookie party actually, which was Tina's mutual clerk friend Aaron and her husband. We had fun, and there must have been 40 different kinds of cookies. I mean, stacked everywhere, like a scene out of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, without Oompa Loompas. But I'm watching the Fort Lauderdale, and the minute they got to the backstretch, you start saying to yourself, they're going to let Glorious Empire waltz here, and You know, the opening quarter was quick enough, right? 23 and change. But when he gets to relax and just dictate, well, you're in trouble. And Edgar also did something that is when you're betting a horse that's on the front end like that, I love, you know, going into the turn and you know, easing away and all of a sudden, you know, making everybody start to ride and panic. And that's what he did and spurted out to, what, 4 or 5 length lead and then was just not, I mean, wasn't even a question that anybody was going to reel him in. So off the turf try in the Breeders' Cup where things went absolutely the wrong way. This is one of those snapback efforts that you just, you know, you open wide-eyed a little bit. And what's amazing about it now, and I bring the reason I introduced the whole, you know, Fort Lauderdale Glorious Empire discussion with the Eclipse discussion, because the turf is a muddled mess. As Andy Serling and I talked on Wednesday, right? Glorious Empire, it really feels like he elevated his stock with this. And that, I wrote that yesterday, and I sort of kind of floated. I put out, I don't know, maybe eight sets of PPs. And we'll discuss this. We'll kick this around. We'll see what Johnny's thoughts are later. And John White, too. We'll get John's season-ending visit after being with John in person last week, which was fun. But we'll get John's. I want to get John's thoughts. And there's a lot of people. The two things immediately evident, at least from a, you know, calling for the public reaction. Stormy Liberal seems to have a real quorum out there and some real support. That's really evident. But I think Glorious Empire elevated himself on Saturday. And that's his third graded stake win, his third triple-digit buyer of the season, if you want to include that. And, you know, he did it for Edgar was on him at Delaware in that comebacker after he had taken 60 days off. So Edgar knew him a little, and boy, this is pretty interesting. And I'm looking forward to talking to Chucky and of course for Matt Shearer, a bit of a decision because now they're immediately, you know, it was immediately presented to Chuck about interest in the Pegasus undercard turf invitational, or however you're going to term it. That was, in a lot of ways, that was the most, you know, the most interesting outcome of the day and of the weekend. Just because we, you know, we looked at this race and with that big field of what ended up being 13. Did somebody scratch? I can't remember. Was there a 14th in here? No, I guess not. But, you know, the way we looked at this, it just felt like, you know, there would be any number of horses that would want to be close or involved. Black Type, nowhere. Mr. Haverkamp was awful. Awful. He was supposed to be stalking and was nowhere to be found. High Happy set up shop second and actually, you know, ran well. I know there was some, you know, some knock on High Happy's presence in here, but he ends up third. Kurban for Kieran made a mild rally and finished second. We're going to talk to Kieran McLaughlin because Kieran got Dream Pauline. Ended up being a very smart move. Late consideration for her first graded stake start. And that pays off because she and Stormy Embrace, really good running of the Sugar Swirl. Some disappointments in here. Awestruck did not fire and really offered very little. Awestruck didn't go favorite, actually, even though it seemed like she was going to be well back. She ended up the second choice, and Dream Pauline took the money. Ended up under 2-1. And it wasn't like there wasn't some early pace. They went 22 and change, 46-1, 58-2. There was some pace to close into, but Awestruck. And granted, let's also fold in, because Todd Pletcher brought it up regarding Audibles being upset. And the track, they took plenty of rain, and they had it sealed, and it was a little tough to figure out, the best part of the track. We'll see what Kieran's thoughts were. But not only did Kieran finish second, or win with Dream Pauline, finish second in the Fort Lauderdale, he had a maiden winner, that Haeckel, in New York, that looks like a nice horse. Break the maiden in, I think, the second start. And Haeckel, I saw that. We had lunch, Tina and I, even before we went to the parties. We grabbed lunch at Eddie F's on Clinton Street in Saratoga. And Eddie's got his it's a seafood, lobster, basically a lobster roll shop, and more. And we've been meaning to go. Good friend of Gary, Siakas. So if you haven't been to Eddie F's, Tina and I each had, I had a cold lobster roll, she had the hot lobster roll. It was tremendous. I know it's, kind of a summery item, but yeah. Eddie F's. Good job, Eddie. How about Gary yesterday? Two wins. Nice. Nice. And our Kid Chocolate got his first check after a dreadful start. Kind of stumbled and then got whacked. And then came running. Had a decent week. We had three starters, and they all ran well. Minute Mouse on Friday, actually. Anyway, back to Gulfstream on Saturday before the break here, because we mentioned Pletcher and Audible. Sir Anthony with the upset. Brian Hernandez Jr. for Tony Mitchell, who's going to join us. Never had Tony on the show. I'm looking forward to it. Long time. He's English, but he's been around the U.S. forever. And what a nice win. And for Richard Otto, too, who's been around in Illinois breeding for a long time. Illini bred. Let's take a break. More setting up the Monday show when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas. Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
The races. We got to try to get all of our Christmas cuts in before Friday. I'm gonna cut out after Thursday. For those wondering how we're gonna vacation this year, and so I guess we're. We haven't decided about the first or the second. I guess we're leaning toward the second. It all depends on Tina. Whatever Tina's schedule is, that's my schedule. So, yeah, exactly, right? I just had to run downstairs. I got a pipe that has to be replaced. Between the house and the septic. So there's going to be some, it's going to be a bit of a mess here today. It's already been Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom, because a raccoon the size of a pit bull basically came nosing around this morning and then went under the porch where he roused the skunk that lives under the porch. And so they had a confrontation. He sprayed the raccoon. there's the skunky. It's a free for all. It's a free for all here, to be honest. And I know that Johnny and I, of course, are going to have to be obliged to discuss the Eagle game last night, and they got to stop with these late games. I'm sorry, I can't. Now we're going to be up for a little bit, no matter what, because you had Remington last night, and Steve Asmussen with a predictably big finish to the Remington season for him, and that included the upset, or at least the price winner, Long Range Toddy, Richard Aramia aboard, and he looked like he was home free, and here came the New York bred Bankett. And this race, I picked the wrong Price, the wrong Asmussen Price. I thought Tobacco Road would put in a late run. But really, the race kind of unfolded a little differently. And they didn't go particularly fast, and yet Bankett able to close from last and was flying late. And Ricardo Santana Jr. aboard. Dumpf ran solidly to be third. And so if people managed to play... if they managed to play Dumpf properly, they might have done all right in here, because you had the basically a $40 winner in long range Toddy. This is Mr. Horton, Willis Horton, and he bred this April foal with Take Charge Indy. So it's really a house horse for Mr. Horton, and got to be excited for him. 10 points. And yeah, long range Toddy was, you know, it wasn't impossible by any stretch. He seemed to be moving forwardly off the, you know, three straight increasing figures. And nice for Aramia to have a horse like this, too. And, you know, just looking back at you know, some of the handicapping, there was. You know, that he had made a big forward move in the last start in that Clever Trevor win, and the Clever Trevor's been that's been a productive avenue, and he certainly came out of it, and not only did he work well, boy, he drilled. I'm seeing this after the fact a little bit. Two back-to-back bullets, make it three bullets. And all his starts had come at Remington. Long-range Toddy. Boy, feels like a missed opportunity in the springboard mile. And the rest of the, you know, the action at Remington, they had a nice, seemed like a, you know, nice way to close out the season. Scarborough's with Cowgirls Like Us for Brett Calhoun. And, in fact, that was a push. That was an Ed DeRosa push. Ed reminded everybody on Twitter before the race that he liked Cowgirls Like Us. And you got 9-2. She paid $11.20. She's a My Golden Song, bred by Doug Scarborough. So that was the trapeze, the filly race. And then you had Steve Asmussen with a horse that he owns, the To Honor and Serve filly, Clever Serve, the four-year-old. Ramon Vasquez aboard, and you know, she was a claim off of actually the Arlington Racing Club, going back to last September, and you know, she's been kind of spoon-fed a little bit, lots of allowances. You know, first she ran for 30 a couple of times. And she won a 30-2. Then she went into a money allowance, won a nice starter allowance, nosed her way into the, you know, into the 70s buyer wise, and then has tried and actually cashed a lot of checks in allowance company. It's had a very solid year, and she caps it off with a win in the She's All In. Haven't seen Figs yet. Those were the Open Company, and then the rest of the stakes action, of course, the You See It and Sydney Freeman, the Zellners, the Oklahoma bred, Donnie Von Hamel. You had the Jim Thorpe United Patriot, Broberg sending one out for the Noakes, I'm going to guess father and son, Robert G. and Robert K., United Patriot under Diego Cabrera. And then in the Jeffrey Hawk Memorial that closed out the card, Lone Rock. And there were plenty of people that had an interest in Lone Rock, the Majestic Warrior, the three-year-old, for John Ed Anthony. So congratulations, John Ed. And in fact, we talked with Sid last week, and John Ed came up with his book, The American Thoroughbred. And the late pick four, you know, which was the, you know, the all stakes pick four, we talked about with Mary Rampolini. And how about $6,285 for the 50 cent denomination? Very nice. And that, they're a nice pool too, $160,000. So 30, 60, figure 30, 130. Looks like about 20, right? Yeah, about 18 tickets, give or take. Well done. That's a nice way to close out your weekend if you caught the Remington action last night. A lot of other, you know, it was a fun and sort of eclectic weekend, and there were some great winners. I haven't reached out yet to John Toscano, but I absolutely will, because Forgotten Hero, that was great in the New York Stallion Series on Saturday. This was a filly that is now 2 for 2. And she beat some nice fillies. And you know, she was fourth choice, third choice, 6 to 1. Paid $1,360. This is a Mission Impossible that sequel bred with Charlie Festa. And Festa owns now with John Toscano. So congratulations to John. I will get John on. That's a nice visit to close out the year, absolutely. And then yesterday, very impressive, Linda Rice with the kind of interestingly named Blind Willie McTell, who romped. Of course, she had the wet track yesterday in New York, but Dylan Davis booted home Blind Willie McTell. You also had, of course, Galilean at LaSalle yesterday in the King Glorious, an easy winner at a very short price. Just overwhelmed that field. In fact, Flavian Pratt swept the two stakes at LaSalle. Kookie Gal for Peter Miller, a boisterous, wins the Soviet Problem too on Saturday. So there you go. And then the only other two stakes, let's get the Gulfstream. We'll come back to Tampa. Because there was actually some interesting things that happened to Tampa, and we'll talk about World of Trouble's big win. And then Andy Serling and I were talking last night, and Andy brought up a great point. Why feels like this was a missed opportunity? Why would you run World of Trouble in this? And granted, it was, you know, it's kind of a slam dunk, but why not send him out to California for the Malibu? He would have been one of the choices in the Malibu. So I'm going to check with Jason Service on that. But we'll get to Tampa. The other two stakes at Gulfstream to talk about. Kapla Temptress. And, you know, I didn't get anything really in the multis at Gulfstream, because everybody, you know, pretty much all the stake winners I had as third choices, and they just piled up to be too many. And so the kind of, you know, I really didn't have much of a chance. I was on my heels pretty quickly. Although award winner, we've got to talk to Brian Lynch at some point soon about the Ammerman's latest. And of course, this was the sibling we discussed about, you know, the Kitten's Joy brothers, Oscar nominated and an Oscar performance. Well, this is the Ghost Zapper version. Award winner, second start, and a impressive winner, actually. Very impressive. And actually paid $8, which feels like in retrospect, the money poured in on that horse we talked about with Welsh, the Bobby DeBona, got bet like iron. Went off at 2 to 1, a little over 2 to 1, and you know, was attending the pace, but you know, then basically backed up and ended up last at 2 to 1. But award winner, and we'll see, you know, see how quickly Brian Lynch pushes this one into you know, more serious company. But that got things started. But then I was in trouble right away. And Kapla Temptress, well, it was my third choice. I tried to use Bella Vey and La Moneda, and La Moneda ran well. But she didn't have an answer when Kapla Temptress came calling with Rosario. Laminata didn't really had no, you know, response. Sugar Horse ran well. Special Event ran well to be third in here. May still be getting better. She feels like she'll be a 5-year-old. I assume that Emery Hamilton will keep racing her. She's multiple graded stake placed, but it feels like she needs a little bit of pace too. And this wasn't particularly a fast pace. Nice performance by Capital Temptress, the Lope de Vega for Team Valor and Bill Mott. And then, is that it? Were those the other? Oh, Tecolita. How about Tecolita? Matz is, you know, Michael Matz, this was a nice performance in the Rampart. Tecolita, who was winless on the year coming into the race. So this is a big win for her. And she got sniffed out, though. Again, for me, she was third choice for me, but a little under 3-1 as the second choice. And Electric Forest, a moderate second. Tappa 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 ran well coming back here for Tim Ham. And, you know, I'm a fan of hers. And so she gets a nice graded stake placing to end the year, and she'll be back, I assume, as a 5-year-old. So there you go. Let's take a break here. Bottom of the hour, we'll launch into the conversations, and I told you Chucky Lawrence is going to join us next. Then a visit from Anthony Mitchell, Tony Mitchell, who's been around Chicagoland a long time and worked originally for Skiff Dog, for Tommy Skiffington, when he came over. And like Skiffington, Mitchell's got a steeplechase background. But he's had, I don't know how long you've seen Mitchell's name in the PPs for 20 years, give or take. And this is first graded stake win in 10, 12 years. He's had, and for, you know, for owner breeder Richard Otto, you know, who's been a presence on the Illinois breeding scene for years, it's a nice win for Mr. Otto. So we'll talk in a little bit to Tony Mitchell after Chucky Lawrence. Then later, Kieran McLaughlin. Haven't talked to Kieran since the end of the summer. So we'll check in with him. See what he's got lined up. That'll be after Johnny D. And then later to John White. We'll do some eclipse work. Figure out what to do with this turf category. Stormy Liberal? Really? Back after this, Chuck Lawrence.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
Old Mr. Kringle is soon gonna jingle the bells that'll tingle all your troubles away. Everybody's waiting for the man with the bag, 'cause Christmas is coming again. He's got a sleigh full, it's not gonna stay full. He's got stuff to drop at every stop of the way. Everybody's waiting for the man with the bag, 'cause Christmas is coming again. He'll be prayers that you've made through the year, you'll get yours. If you've done everything you should, extra special good, he'll make this December the one you'll remember, the best and the merriest you ever did have. Everybody's waiting for the man with the bag. Christmas is here again.
We're back at the races with one of our absolute all-time favorites, K-Star. The incredible K-Star. I guess we're going to go the whole year. We haven't played Wheel of Fortune in forever. Another great K-Star. She's unbelievable. Chuck Lawrence and Glorious Empire, they're unbelievable. You know, Chuck, just when you think, okay, you know, how can he snap back from that Breeders' Cup, and how can he wire this field, and there's two other speeds in here, and the next thing you know, Edgar Prado absolutely puts everybody to sleep. What a masterful ride, and obviously you had Glorious Empire at his best. Congratulations to you and Matt Shearer.
Thank you so much. Just so proud of the horse.
You love this horse. He's a barn favorite. He's been a project. We talked about him during the summer and into the fall. Three graded stake wins, and the situation, the way it unfolded in the Breeders' Cup, give us a feel for how you came out of Breeders' Cup and what your plan was to get back on track.
Well, going into the Breeders' Cup, we certainly thought that we had a very good shot of being in the money and possibly winning. We knew Nabel was a nice filly and everything, but he came into the Breeders' Cup strong off three major nice wins, and we were dumbfounded at the Breeders' Cup. But I think Julian, he just said he took care of him. He said he just didn't feel like he was getting a hold of the ground like he was at Saratoga, and different courses have different turf. And luckily, Julian just took care of him. He came out of the race great, ate up, that the next morning and everything. So Matt was ready to stop on him. But I told him, I said, man, everything was 100%. Training-wise, in the weeks after, he trained great. So we mapped out to Fort Lauderdale. And, of course, thinking about the Pegasus Cup, everything just clicked and lined up again.
It's amazing. And, you do mention the footing and the turf course. And of course, Churchill and Keeneland, sand-based courses. And there's a real difference. And of course, everything... means everything to a horse, the way the ground feels under them, and Obviously, as you say, you came back and you could see that 2 weeks after Breeders' Cup, you had him, you know, go go three quarters, and then he got right back on a regular schedule. Are you down in Florida at all with horses, or are you still doing it out of Fair Hill?
We have everything here at Fair Hill. Glorious was back at 5 o'clock this morning. He's in his stall. He's happy. He was in a box stall way home, and he finished his feed and drank about three water buckets of water on the way home. So he was in a box stall, and he's a good shipper, good traveler. So everything's back here. We had a heck of a week. In 10 days, I think we had two first-time starter, 2-year-olds win, and Glorious. So we had a good week.
Well, and we're certainly gonna get to some of those as well. Obviously this sets up for a terrific winter, and he's going to be 8 years old, but this was his 25th start. He's won 10 times now, and you get the sense that he's at his best now, and there's really a lot to look forward to as the calendar turns.
Oh, definitely. Knock on wood, physically he's very good. When he went down the backside of the race and had his ears pricked and just looked like he was having fun, I knew we were going to be tough. And looking forward, we're looking forward to a great campaign in 2019, hopefully.
Well, and of course there is this new additional Pegasus Invitational, or however they're going to structure it. What did you and Matt? You got a sense for what the conditions are and what the opportunity is?
Well, I'm leaving that all up to him. He'll make the decision whether or not it's worth putting up the money to take a shot in the Pegasus. I think as it stands right now, you have to nominate $100,000 and then another $400,000 to run. So you have to be pretty damn sure that all cylinders are firing to go in there.
One aspect of Saturday that should be included, the mile in the eighth, and he had run the race with Edgar at Delaware back in June, and we had come to think of him more as a classic turf route distance type. It says something that he was able to adjust again to the mile in the eighth, and he's really done a lot of different things from a mile to a mile and a half.
Yeah, I think if you look way back in his form, I think he won three quarters handicaps on the turf. So, I mean, he's just an incredibly talented horse. It's just a matter of keeping his mind occupied and keeping him happy. If everything goes right, he's gonna run with the best of them. He's such an athlete. He has so much speed. If you saw, I think in the rerun, you can see the burst of acceleration he has, and I mean, not every horse has that. It's a really cool feeling sitting on one of those, and I'm sure Edgar can tell you more about that. But.
Well, and in fact, the Edgar part of the equation, we should let you reflect on that too, because you've used Edgar. When the occasion arises, and I thought it was just a masterful ride. I love when somebody on the lead bursts away toward into the turn, and then makes everybody start to panic, and that's exactly what happened. And by the time he built that lead at the eighth pole, you could see there was no way they were getting to him.
Yeah, Edgar told me, he said, Chuck, I was gearing him down the last few strides. So
yeah,
he said I saved some, so that was nice to hear when he came back. And You know, when I first started training, Edgar was the big man in Maryland, and he could just tell he was riding every horse in the race. He knew exactly what they were doing. He was just one of the smartest riders I've ever seen riding. And then he carried that to New York, and he's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. And he truly belongs there because he's one of the smartest riders that I have seen strategy-wise, and he certainly showed that the other day.
Very much. And for you, let's fold in what kind of year this has been, because it's your best year as a horseman, earnings and three graded stakes with Glorious Empire, and reflect on 2018.
Well, it's been, you know, one of those years in a career that you have strived for. With a small operation, you don't always get the opportunities to have the quality horses to run in the graded stakes. They seem to be coming more and more opportunities the older I'm getting and staying in the game. But, over the years, having 20 horses or 15 horses, you don't get the opportunities that the guys that have 200-plus horses have. But I think we've certainly taken advantage of the opportunities here the last few years, which one of the main reasons is Matt Scherer. I mean, he buys quality horses and puts them in your barn. And I can't say enough about Matt. He's just been awesome as an owner. He's awesome for the game because he takes care of his horses. He retires horses. Horses that have been claimed from him, he'll get them back and finds him another career.
Well, certainly you got to be excited not just about what lies ahead for Glorious Empire as he becomes an 8-year-old, but talk about the 2-year-old. You mentioned the winners from the past week, Elverson with Trevor McCarthy, pretty exciting debut victory. This happens to be an Into Mischief, and she looks like she's going places. Talk about this one. She was a modest purchase too, a 2-year-old in training sale, going back to OBS in April for $50,000.
Yes, sir. She has, ticked all the boxes off in the morning. We thought that she would run well first time out. We drew the 12 hole. I was a little concerned about that. I think in the end she was in the 9 hole, but was worried. 2-year-olds usually they break to the right, and she did a little bit of that, but she was still classy enough to win first time out. So we have high hopes for her. There's another filly that ran first time out at Saratoga with second, Shanghai Bonnie. Shanghai Bonnie, and she's getting ready to come out and watch for her because she's an incredibly fast filly.
Very nice, and for the most part, you'll run these at Laurel through the winter.
Well, I've done very well with the 3-year-old fillies at Aqueduct. I've won a handful of those stakes up there in the past. We will definitely target Laurel there. The 3-year-old filly stake program, yes, sir.
Nice. Well, Chuck, always happy when you do well, and Matt, and really, the Glorious Empire, one of the nice stories from so many different angles, from a horse that that had issues, and a horse that has been well documented in terms of his bleeding problem, and here he is maximizing his career at 7. I got to ask you before we go, what you think the prospects are for him to be turf champion. I sent out a thing yesterday on Twitter saying, this is such a muddled picture, and he's gotten a lot of support from the general public, and I think that this win did a lot to put him in the mind's eye of voters.
Yes, sir. That's one of the main reasons that we decided to keep him ticking along, that and then the prospect of running in a couple of the big races early here. But that was one of the main reasons to keep him in the conversation. And I think it was what, 4 or 5 Grade One winners in that race the other day. He's beaten the best all fall. The Breeders' Cup was a hiccup with the going, but other than that, I think he certainly deserves to be in the running, and hopefully we win it. It'd be a huge honor.
Well, very much. Trained a champion, and he certainly has performed like one, snapping back out of the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, last year the Breeders' Cup turf was crazy productive. The horses kept winning out of last year's Breeders' Cup turf, and we'll watch. It seems like we might be on that path again. Although Waltgeist came out and he ran at Hong Kong, and I think he was fifth, but certainly Glorious Empire going to campaign on the 7-year-old, and I know how much the barn loves him, and your daughter loves him. And Chuck, have a wonderful Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year. Congratulations on your best year as a horseman.
Thank you so much. And like I say, I can't thank enough to my help and my owners. Thank you very much.
Not at all. Chuck Lawrence, everybody. And in fact, Chuck is going to have a pair of horseman conversations, guys that come from the steeplechase world, because Tony Mitchell is going to join us next. And of course, Chucky rode over the fences and comes from that typically wild and crazy, wild and woolly vein of horsemen. Let's take a time out. When we come back, Tony Mitchell, who came to the U.S., I don't know, 20-plus years ago, and has been winning races in and around Chicago for years. He came down and upset Audible in the Harlan's Holiday. And really, if you watch it, you know, watch it again. This is Sir Anthony, Illinois bred, and awfully nice. Came up the rail, Brian Hernandez Jr. with a heady ride, and Audible kind of out in the middle of the track. Audible kind of, you know, he's kind of one-paced. He didn't show that same zip, that same burst that we had seen in the prep, in the comebacker. But we'll see what happens. They were using that as a lead-in toward Pegasus. We'll see what Tony Mitchell's, what their plans are for Sir Anthony. Joins us next, Johnny D, Karen McLaughlin, much more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Daytime Southern California thoroughbred racing action continues Thursday through Sunday at Los Alamitos Racecourse with more stakes action coming up on December 15th and 16th. First post is 1 p.m. on weekdays and 12:30 p.m. on weekends Pacific Time. The weekend action will feature the Soviet Problem Stakes on Saturday, December 15th and the King Glorious on Sunday, December 16th. All of the top names will be here through our closing day on Sunday, December 16th. Racing fans, the $1 Los Alamitos Pick Fours continues. The wager has been well received and the pools figure to grow. Los Alamitos also features a traditional pick six wager. And when the sun goes down, the lights turn on at Los Alamitos with nighttime quarter horse and thoroughbred racing action every Friday through Sunday night. Join us on track or at your favorite satellite or ADW provider. Great racing is in store at Los Alamitos Racecourse through our closing day on Sunday, December 16th. Let's go! For more info, go to losalamitos.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at pabred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.